This episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast is sponsored by Susan's Travel Services.
Right now is the perfect time to start planning your destination wedding or honeymoon.
Susan Green and her experienced professional team are available to you to help plan your perfect day.
With over 25 years in the travel industry, Susan's Travel Services is committed to creating the destination wedding or honeymoon you have dreamed of and to ensure that your guests have a fantastic vacation too.
They can fulfill your destination wedding or honeymoon requests for any location in the world.
If you're looking for an all-inclusive experience, Susan's Travel has partnered with some of the best in the world, whether it's Mexico, the Caribbean, an exotic cruise, an overwater bungalow in the Maldives, Bora Bora, or the French Alps, Susan's Travel can help you.
Not sure of where, how, or how much? Schedule a free consultation to get you moving in the right direction.
Susan's Travel has exclusive offers for TBWPP listeners. Visit the website at susanstravelservices.com today for details. And be sure to mention that you heard about them on the Big Wedding Planning Podcast when you inquire.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners, tearing it up. Listen, learn,
plan that wedding. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Looks like you're posing over there. Oh. Like, she's got her arm up like an angel statue singing.
Like a goddess.
I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for joining us. It is such a good episode. If you have never listened to us before, or if this is your 200th time to listen. This is really good. We like literally just finished recording it, so I know it's fresh in my mind, but I got goosebumps multiple times, teared up a little bit. I laughed. I loved. I mean, we did all the things.
You've done all the things. You can die now.
It's really good. I love follow-up episodes anyway, because we get to finish the story, whatever story we started telling in another episode when a couple or a bride has been on. And so this does not disappoint in terms of a follow-up, all the things it should have, the retrospective nature, some great advice, some lessons learned, silver lining.
This couple is special, you know, and they get their priorities, you know, straight. And Jazz reached out to us back in June, I think, of 2020 now, and wrote us a long email and just kind of talked about how she was happy to have heard our episode number 200 and how we needed to do more. And so then we recorded with Jazz and Rodney episode number 204 called Wedding Planning While Black.
Mm-hmm. The email she sent was about her own experiences wedding planning currently at the time. They were right in the middle of it after not a terribly long engagement. I mean, they were recently engaged.
Yeah. Oh, we should say the timeline was they got engaged in February of 2020. The next month we all went into shelter in place. The pandemic was just like, the wedding, all weddings were canceled, postponed, totally affected. The whole world was.
I mean, she wrote us the email in the middle of like that national reckoning, as well as the like part of the summer where we were all like, it's almost over, right? Like, it's almost, we're all going to be okay and be back to normal.
We kind of thought that was happening.
And there were so many considerations that Jazz and Rodney were dealing with at the time, but they had a wedding date, ultimately ended up sticking to that date, right? and just cut the guests, ended up making a lot of other adjustments because of the pandemic. And their wedding was in October of 2020 in a very small window of time where California was, or Palm Springs, at least that county was allowed to do the event in a very specific way. So when she emailed us, it was in the middle of planning, but also dealing with bigger things than just wedding planning and how to put it all together and come to terms with that. And we spoke to both of them on that episode 204. And then now we recorded today, 3 months later after their October wedding. And
it was amazing.
That wedding insight.
Yeah. There's so many great lessons in this episode from Jazz and Rodney. That you're going to learn from. Any of you, especially planning a wedding right now during this pandemic, you're going to pick up some really good insight here. And I was just happy they were able to have the wedding. I remember when we were recording with them saying October and me going, ooh, I don't know. But it happened. It sounds like it was just so much more special than they would have ever imagined it could have been. And we just love this story. We love this couple. We love that they were able to have this wonderful weekend with the people that they loved so very much and that loved them so much. And, you know, and there were times when, you know, you'll hear Jazz and Rodney talk about, like, they weren't sure they were going to keep the vendors that they had hired because they weren't seeing or hearing what they wanted to hear or see from them, you know, during the summer, on their social media. They were kind of silent for a while, and that was a huge red flag for many people. So you'll hear about how they handled that, and tips just for weddings during a pandemic, and, you know, how to handle cutting a guest list, you know, how they went about it and how their guests reacted to it. So
it's a
much
good episode
here
for like literal advice. Like, these are the steps we took. This is the wording we used, but then also more general high level advice, like getting yourself in the right mental state and emotional state to enjoy your wedding day. Some of those like not so tangible ideas and advice that only a
and here's what worked and here's what didn't work. Frankly, this was a waste of our time. We did it, didn't work. So good. We should jump right in, but we want to say thank you again to Jazz and Rodney. And yeah, this is a good one. So how was the wedding? Was it everything you expected?
Yeah, I don't.
It's hard to know what you expected.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. It was better than everything.
It was better than,
It was better than everything.
A lot better. I think the biggest thing people kept saying is like, oh, the day is just going to rush by and you're not going to remember anything and like savor every moment. And that's just so much pressure. I was like, oh, great. Like, I have to like be on my A game trying to remember everything that happens. But it actually felt like a really long day in a good way because, I mean, for me, I started at like 6 a.m. I started so early.
Ooh, hair and makeup at 6 a.m.?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What time was the ceremony?
It was supposed to be at 4. It was like 5 at the end of the day. But
wait. Why did it start an hour late?
Honestly, I was just taking forever. Like it was my side of things. And I remember I kept asking like what time is it and people wouldn't tell me. So I was like, all right, I think we're late.
So. I had a watch on my hand. I was like, am I doing something wrong? Are we late? So it was kind of panicking, but we have footage of like everything Jazz was doing in the suite and she was relaxed.
Oh yeah, I was not stressed at all. Well, no one told me what time it is. So I was like, clearly, and my planner kept saying like, we're literally not gonna start without you. So just take your time. And I think we, honestly, what took so long is we over-planned the stuff we did. So we had like groom letter, bride letter, and I did like a boudoir shoot and all that stuff just adds up time. And the next thing you know, it's like, oh, it's 4 o'clock and you don't have your dress on. So
you did a boudoir shoot that day, the day of your wedding.
It was the best thing. My photographer suggested it. It was awesome.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
You're already like perfectly made up. She's like, just bring your veil. I was like, this is cool. But then again, that adds another like 45 minutes.
It adds it, but you don't have to pay a photographer for extra session later, and it adds to your experience of the day.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Usually those are not done on the wedding day.
I would rather, for me, I was like, I was so nervous and weird about it. I was like, I don't want this to be its own separate thing. So we did it the day of, and Rodney didn't even know it was coming. So when she sent the picture link, Rodney's like, whoa, what is this?
It added to my experience of the day as well. I would say it was great.
He didn't know till later, but yeah.
That's so cool. So you started at 6 a.m. Yeah. I'm still not over this.
I like woke up at 6 a.m. and oh my gosh, so hungover. So the day before that, we like
that's what's gonna ask. Wait,
we had the whole wedding was very, very drunk. but the day before, we had what we called like a sunset reception because the wedding was 34 people who were like our best family, friends, whatever. And so we got very drunk, like very, very drunk. And then after that, got more drunk, and everybody just in my bridal suite till 2 a.m., which is a horrible idea. I do not recommend it.
I agree there, yes.
I woke up, I was probably still drunk. I was like, what's happening? It's time to wake up. People are knocking on my door, bringing me like lemon water. I was like, oh wow, this starts right now.
Okay. That's such a benefit of a destination wedding though, and a small guest count, but that everyone hangs out. I mean, these are your core people in the world.
Yes.
There's not an extra person to be seen. I mean, it is like your people, and you get them for that whole night. And then the next day it's all of them again, but it's much more focused on you two.
Yes.
I mean, the only times that I've ever experienced that as a guest was for a destination wedding of a dear friend where you're all kind of like, we're all here. Like I might not as a guest know all 34 people, but the bride and groom or the couple definitely do. And so by the end of the night, everyone's like, we're all best friends. Well, let's do this again next year.
That's what was so shocking. People became best friends because like Rodney has family in Orlando who like, why would they meet my family from Memphis? Like they just haven't met. And by the end of the first night, I was like, how are they best friends? When did they meet? Like, but
that's so cool.
We had food there, which was great. So like, there was an impetus for people to like get out of their hotel room and like see each other, and everyone took time off. And with COVID, people haven't seen each other in like a year. So everyone was very willing to like stay up and party both nights, which was great.
So rewinding just from to catch us up from your original plan was not 34 people. Like your most original plan, what was that?
So the most original plan, like invites sent, was 90 people. Okay. And that was very quickly, we very quickly realized at some point we would have to downsize, but we didn't know what the rules would be. California was like, don't have any weddings at all. So that wasn't helpful.
But you never changed your venue.
No. So the good thing is our venue, thankfully, like we got married at the exact right time because things have completely shifted now, but our venue followed restaurant rules. Basically, they were like, everything will be outdoors. Let's treat this like as small as possible, separate tables, whatever, versus like a lot of venues in Palm Springs that are made for weddings just completely shut down the whole season. But since they're a hotel, they reopened in July. They had already started COVID protocols for like 3 months before we got married. So it was easier and we wanted to stick with them, thankfully. But the reason why we ultimately dropped down is over the summer before we knew officially what the number would be, we both just sat down and decided, like, should we just uninvite our friends? Which sounds very extreme, but we were like, the family has to be there. Our friends are traveling from all over the place. A lot of them were single. So I was like, how are we going to put them at tables with people they don't know? It was just too complicated. And so we just decided, like, let's just do family. And once we just did family, I think that brought us down to like 50. And then 40. And then we invited people. And then like some people like couldn't come or whatever. But then that got us to 30.
That discussion, because I was listening back to our episode with you originally, and I think we recorded in June. And I think you said like you were on like on July 3rd, you both were going to like make a decision as to like, as to like what you were going to do in terms of the guest list. So that's what you decided. That's good.
That was, I think, one of the best decisions we made because I think we're stressed the whole wedding planning time. But before that, I was like just distraught. And I was like, who are we going to cut? This is like political now. I was like, this is just too complex. And once we were just like, let's just cut non-family. And with the only friend we had, his friend, not quote unquote, Rodney's friend, who's our officiant. So everyone else was literally like blood relative, immediate family, like close cousins we grew up with and love. And that just like made everything easier. And we also knew that they were less likely to like flake out on us, because we needed to know like, where are you flying in from, safety, like all of that. And yeah, we knew that family, they would just take it more seriously than, you know, our random friend from college or whatever.
Did anybody take COVID tests?
So people did, but we didn't really require it. Our biggest ask was just like quarantine, because we're like, you're going to fly. So I don't even know how much that helps. It's not a local wedding where you could.
Right.
So our big thing was just like quarantine. Our family was already doing that. So it wasn't really, they just go to work or work from home.
It wasn't just that we like uninvited friends. We also kind of uninvited family that we were worried about. Like no grandmas were there.
Yes, that's true.
And how do I say this? The people who were a little bit more unpredictable were also kind of like, well, you're not a responsible nurse.
That's true.
No. Well, in a way we could say no. And also we were very, very like, don't have to come.
No pressure.
For anybody. And so that kind of like, people did it. Like people were just like, I have my kids at home. I don't want to risk it with like no worries. And our family was just very much like, oh, this is what you want anyway. So it's fine.
I think people listening right now who are maybe in the seat, you know, in the predicament that you all were in last time and thinking about cutting their guest list, how did your guests, those people, react? What was their feedback? Or was there anything negative, positive? Were people cool? What was it about? How was
it? Also, how did you communicate it once you guys made the decision?
Yeah. Educate the people.
We got engaged during COVID and married.
Well, we got engaged before COVID, like February 3rd.
So we got, this whole thing wrapped up with us. So we've been communicating.
Yeah.
As the world was learning what COVID was, we were learning what it was. And our guests were learning what it meant for our wedding. So like, they had a lot of communication that had the word COVID in it already between now and then. But what's funny is July 3rd date where we decided to cut people, it was agonizing every day before that. Yes. Like, should we just cut early? Should we just do it today?
Yeah.
We were waiting to see who was going to say yes. And then if only 34 people said yes, period, then it would be fine. But even that was like too uncertain. So we actually sent out our invites to everybody.
Yeah.
And then like,
we'll save the dates and then invite.
Yeah. And then like the next day we're like, what do we do? It's already in the mail.
Wait, to all 90 you sent them out? Yeah. Okay.
So part of why we did that is because we were like,
let's see how many people say yes.
Honestly, we're like, you're invited. Maybe we'll have a Zoom wedding. I don't know. Like, you are invited and the intention was to have you. We just don't know. And then before we got to July 3rd, I think we started texting people like, what is your likelihood? What's your comfortability? And that was, to other couples, that was the most annoying thing ever, because no one says anything. Everyone's like, well, we'll see. What will the world look like? I'm like, it's not a we'll see for us. The wedding's in 3 months. Like, if you absolutely aren't going to come, you know by now. And if you really want to come and pretty much like lightning has to strike for you not to come, you also know. And it was just silence. So that was super unhelpful for us.
So that didn't work.
So that actually was a huge part of when we were like, then we just need to call it. Because honestly, for me, I think I took it more personally. But I was like, if you're my friend, just tell me. Like, I had friends who, after we canceled, were like, oh, thank God, I was never going to go. I was so worried. And I'm like, why didn't you just tell it? There's no offense. It's more offensive to like
string you along
and have us agonize over like, are we going to do a buffet and this and that? And you never had a plan of coming. So the way people reacted on my side, because we basically broke it up and texted people, because we were like, this is not a website thing. We don't want to email. That's too impersonal. So I literally like personally texted every single person. Almost all of them were very positive in terms of like, they were like, okay, phew, this is the right thing to do. I didn't feel fully feel comfortable. I think what I took personally was people who were like, oh, thank God, I was never going to go. Phew. Like, or people would say like, oh good, you should have canceled already. I'm like, well, we're not canceling. We're still having it. So well, that was like a little bit annoying, but then I was also like low key. I was like, some of those people, I was like, yeah, you shouldn't have been there. Like I wouldn't want to be like looking over my shoulder. Like, is that person comfortable or not? And so I was like, no, just we'll catch up later. It'll be totally fine. No hard feelings. There were a few people, like very few, like 2-3 people who were like, oh my God, I was going to come no matter what. We were going to like drive across the country. Like,
I would never miss it.
Yes, like save a seat. Like, we'll. And I was like, no, do not drive across the country. That's crazy.
What was the wording, you guys? Did you use the same wording? Because I think you made the decision. It's like, no friends. Wow, that feels so great to finally draw that line and make the decision. And we can be consistent now, because it's just like, hey, if you're not related, you're not coming.
Yep.
So did you word it like, oh, we're so sorry, just so you know, or was each text personalized? Like how?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing for, this is like my marketing side, I was like, people will take it better if it's family only versus no friends. So like—
or just like some friends, but you didn't make the cut.
Yeah, like it sounds too whatever. So the way I kept framing it was like, hey, we've decided to do family only for everyone's safety and comfort. Like we would have loved to have you and we can't wait to celebrate in the future. And it was like, no, everyone's like, oh, we totally get it. That makes sense. Like,
that wouldn't work on the family members you thought were being unpredictable. So how did you—
yeah, that was more on Rodney's side.
That was, well, I probably had less anxiety about it because it's fewer people who are going to be that way. But that was, I kind of let some of it play out because I knew some people, if they're flaky in certain ways, you'll also be flaky in saying yes to this wedding and buying a ticket and coming. So some of them naturally died out. I think a couple people, I just kind of said, I kind of waited for them to not say anything and then kind of just slowly said, hey, you're not coming.
Yeah, some people, like they never like said anything about save the date, never said anything about invites. We started asking about like, have you booked flights? And it was just silence. So I think when those people heard like, hey, we're cutting for family, like we're cutting it down to immediate family, core family, they probably knew it was coming or didn't plan on coming anyway.
For mm-hmm. some of the other ones, I used matriarchs in my family, my mother and my sister were kind of like the central point. I was like,
oh, well, they were amazing.
Get the word through the grapevine, and then it was easier. It was like kind of an easier. Like my grandma, for instance, was the biggest one. Oh yeah,
his grandma really wanted to come. Yeah. We're like, you can't come. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So, did you end up doing anything virtual, FaceTiming, Zooming, nothing?
So very quickly when we decided to make it smaller. This sounds so weird, but our original plan that we never really told people. Back in February, like the day we got engaged and we were like, oh, we're gonna get married. We're gonna have this wedding. When we both thought of our vision, I was like, I want to have a 25 person dinner party. That's like my dream. That's like what I actually would love. I want to like rock out with like my closest people. And so weirdly, after we told everyone and it was okay, we were just so happy. We're like, then let's just do this the way we want. We don't have to have the pressure of Zooming it or I just was like, let's just do this the way that we originally wanted and we'll just catch up with people later. I also, to be honest, we went to a bunch of Zoom weddings this summer and they were beautiful, but I was like, it's kind of sad. The one that we went to.
You felt like it wasn't for you.
It was not for us. I'm also like, the reason why I wanted a small wedding is because I don't want to cry in front of everyone. That's a lot. And so I was like, if we send a Zoom link out, this is going to go out to my whole like MBA class. This is going to go out to like all of Google. Like I know how this works. I got Zoom invites for a wedding where I was like, I don't even know this person. Why am I getting, it's just, it got weirdly impersonal. So.
Wow.
For me personally, I was like, it's going to be a small wedding. That's how we wanted it. And let's just contain it and leave it that way. So we decided not to Zoom or visualize anything. But when we got the wedding video, we sent the link out and people got to like, it was a full feature. So they got to see like the whole 30-minute beautiful curated video.
That's awesome.
That's such a less pressure filled way of doing it. Like let the professional shoot it and then edit it. And then you get to be delighted by it.
Exactly.
And if you want to share it, you can just send it to everybody rather than try to get everyone on the front end.
And for the video part, we both felt this way throughout the day. I like, everyone says this, but I truly forgot they were there. Like I didn't notice them. The only time I had to do something for them was like reading the groom letter, which was like probably the most awkward thing. And I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. But other than that, we just got to live the day. And a lot of the Zoom weddings I saw, like, it has to be this way. I get it. But they're like, where's the camera? Where are we? Like, I just felt like I had to be so aware. And I was like, I can't do this. I'm already nervous. So I think it works for some people who are like, maybe they're like critical people who had to catch it. But for us, I was like, as long as we have our like family, like our critical people, and the grandmas can see the video later, like everyone else will be okay.
That does remind me of somebody else who didn't make it. My sister Shirley had just started a job as a respiratory therapist. So very important during the time period.
Wow.
And she actually was one we let go past the deadline to let us know because she had just started and she didn't know like, was she allowed to go even? And she wasn't. Good thing we asked her to ask. But I do remember my morning did not start at 6 a.m. or 9 a.m. Mainly because it never ended. I didn't sleep that night. So I was awake all night.
Rodney!
What?
Why did you sleep?
Not that I have anything important the next day.
You party animal.
The after celebrations at the bridal suite with my cousins too, so.
Yeah, and then some of my family was in my suite. So I also was there with them. And then I just couldn't sleep. for whatever reason. So I got up and out all alone in my suite because, you know, I don't know why, because I didn't need anybody there with me, I guess. But I realized that I don't want to be this alone. So I Zoomed my sister, Shirley, who wasn't going to be able to go there. And we talked a while. And I read her the vows because she's the only one that wasn't going to be there that I could practice with and would be surprised.
That is awesome. I love that.
Yeah, it was great though. She was my company.
That's beautiful. I love that. So I just want to know what time was the last dance of this wedding? Because it seems like you got no sleep the night before.
Yeah, the last dance was 10.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's not that. It's still late for not having a lot of sleep, but it's not as late as a lot of other weddings.
No, but the thing is, so it was like last dance at 10 or whatever, like the party shut down, but per usual.
After party.
Yeah, the young people. So we were originally going to have an after party and it was going to be like at this indoor bar at the place. Obviously they're like, no indoor anything, no bar. Like, we're not doing that. But we were on the rooftop and we basically just asked our planner. We're very tipsy at this point. We're like, can we just have more time? And she was like, yeah, do what you guys want. So she got us another hour. So we just like stayed on the roof with like the younger people, like all the kids and moms went home and then we just like hung out with the young people.
This is the hotel planner, the person that worked at the hotel?
No, our like actual wedding planner. Well, our wedding planner, I think, spoke to the venue coordinator.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't know how it happened. She was just like, they're keeping the bar open and the music pumping and we just like kept going. And
yes.
Yeah. And that's when we like got really, really drunk and barely remember getting home. But the cool thing is they kept getting us golf carts and like they would talk on the radio like, the bride and groom. And then after that, they're like, the newlyweds are coming home. I was like, this is so cool.
Live it up. When else is that going to happen that you're just going to be able to like drink your ass off at a fancy resort and a golf cart will take you wherever you want to go.
It was great.
Amazing.
We did not have any drinks before the reception, partly because we...
Oh, yeah.
She's like, well,
I did not have, I had coffee 3 times because the last thing I'd want is to fall asleep in the middle of my vows or something.
Right.
So walking down the aisle, so I was like, this is the one day I cannot sleep. And somehow we didn't. Like, we were just not. Now, the day was so energizing.
Yeah.
It was just everybody's happy and my wife looks beautiful and everybody's, you know, saying nice things about her and she's happy.
I got you too.
I was like, oh, wait a minute. People are saying nice things about me too. And then
you guys look so happy in the video and you look so relaxed.
I actually remember when I was getting my hair done at the bridal suite. I thought she was just saying this to make me feel good, but the hairdresser kept saying like, you're the most relaxed bride I've ever seen. And I was like, oh yeah, right. And she was like, no, seriously, like everything, I didn't realize it till after when people were telling me, things kept going wrong. Like my planner came and she was like, oh, the napkins are all wrong. So we're just gonna go with the white venue ones. And I was like, oh, show me a picture. And she showed me and I was like, oh, whatever. And everyone's like, oh my, that's it? You're fine with that? I was like, what am I gonna do? Like,
yeah.
I'm not gonna cry about napkins. No one knew what they were gonna be, whatever. Oh well.
Good for you, good for you.
We were just like, with all the other craziness that happened to get us here, I was like, who cares?
We should note that having a planner, this is one of the biggest arguments for having a planner some of the problems you aren't even aware of, but then the ones that you are aware of, they're not just dropped in your lap. They're presented to you in a fashion where it's like, this is what happened. Here's my solution. Yes. And you just have to go, okay. Like, I approve. And then she will facilitate the solution. Like, that is the steps. That is the operation, you know?
I think I knew, like, because I heard you guys' podcast since, like, February. I knew we had to get a planner. But the day before during the walkthrough is when I was like, oh, my gosh, thank God we did this. When we're doing the walkthrough and she's talking about, like, outlets and, like, the grass level and where the sun is going to be shining, I was like, oh, okay. Like, you're a professional. I was like, how would I even have known to think this or know about these things? So yeah, for us, we got to relax because she was just on top of everything and she was relaxed. If she was panicking about napkins, I would have been like, oh, then I guess I should panic.
Right.
But I just felt like I kept asking people like, is Rodney okay? Is Rodney in a good mood? And they're like, yeah, he's good. So I was like, that's fine. Everything else will be fine.
How long was it in the day until you two saw each other?
I think we saw each other at 4 because we had our first look. Very late. We're supposed to have first look, I think, at 2:30. And we
Your ceremony was supposed to be at 4.
Yeah. So we have our first look at 4 and then after that we do family portraits. So
this episode is brought to you by 1010.
Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times, InStyle magazine, or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it.
1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today.
Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring. They're available now exclusively on BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone.
We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds.
If you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring to wear forever, you definitely want to check this out.
Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings just launched, and you can find it exclusively at BlueNile.com. How was the first look? How was it? Because, you know, there's a lot of people on the fence about doing first looks out there.
This was amazing because I was so nervous the whole day. And next thing I know, she's here in front of me. I'm like, we were already kind of relaxed because, you know, like you said, we weren't planning and we were kind of escaping from the world anyway. And the world was, you know, still is. But it was just like to hear her voice for the first time and then to see her and then for her to hear my voice and then to just smile. It was so relaxing. And then, of course, we just went down the aisle later and we were just like, it's like our day. From that point, it's like our day, just me and you and like a bubble of people around us, but like mainly me and you.
And one cool thing we did for first look that I'm sure you've seen every type of first look, I'm sure, in your professional careers, but like a lot of what I see is like the woman walking up and tapping him and he turns around, or like one partner does that. And I just like something about that. I was like, that doesn't feel like us. Like, this is me being like weirdly feminist, but I was like, that feels like I'm the prize or something and like whatever. And so my amazing photographer, I was like, hey, can we do something different? Can we both like come around a corner and like both see each other? So it's not just like Rodney exclaiming, but we both get to have that feeling. And so they had this beautiful like Spanish villa hallway outside. And so I was on like one hallway part and Rodney was on the other hallway part. So like when he came outside before I even saw him, I was like, can I say hi to him? He's like, yeah, say hi. So I'm like, hi, Rodney. And he was like, oh my, like, it was just, before we even saw each other, it was like, it was our first time talking that day or like hearing each other's voice, like he said. And it was just so beautiful and private. And it was just us. And I felt like the sun was shining so bright. I don't know if that was just like happiness, but it was just beautiful. And we like, it was all caught on video from a million angles. And once again, I forgot they were there. I highly recommend it because yeah, I was super nervous up until then too. And by then I was like, oh, everything's good. Whatever happens after this, we will be good. And it just felt like we had that to ourselves and like people will see the video, that's fine. But like the feelings we felt were like just for us.
I think that, and this is, I love how you did this and I just love how you both described it. And I do want to say that I'm watching you, I'm listening to you, I'm all excited. And, you know, I feel like there's a dark cloud over couples right now during this pandemic who, you know, have been affected. Their weddings have been affected by it. You know, people who were engaged, who had to postpone, who had to do a Zoom wedding, whatever it was. But I also feel like you all are experiencing a wedding that a lot of other people in the history of weddings have not experienced, because like Christy, how you said, like, when's the next time you're going to be able to be with all the people and like, you know, in a golf cart, like we don't know when the next time we're all going to be able to be together with the people that are the most important to us and celebrate and dance, you know? And so I just want to say that there is a little bit of a silver lining to everyone out there, including the two of you who have experienced your wedding in this way during this pandemic, in that when you are able to celebrate, even during this time, it's like that much more.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of the way our wedding had so much positive energy. Of course, it's a wedding, it's always positive energy.
Yeah.
But like you could sort of feel it through the entire weekend where people are like, let's breathe for a little bit.
I feel lucky to be here.
Yeah, yeah. Breathe behind a mask before, but still. It was kind of like we kind of turned off the world for a little bit, escapism 100%. And it wasn't like we could completely turn it off, but it just felt that way. It's like, especially that night, the night of the reception, where we were on a rooftop where it feels like we're in the middle of nowhere, right? Mm. Like it's us and stars, essentially.
Oh, so beautiful.
That really felt like we've escaped to some kind of mountain somewhere else where nobody is around, and it's just a chance to see each other. And like I think we all knew that we're not going to see each other for the next year.
I know.
Except for the people who came from the same place.
That was actually before we went to the wedding. Like, we talked to our families. We're like, we're not going to come home for Thanksgiving, Christmas. Like, this is kind of going to be it, because we didn't do anything for all of the pandemic. Like, we didn't fly anywhere or do anything except for the wedding and honeymoon. And we're like, we want to go back to being safe. So after this, who knows when we'll see you again? So that's also part of what made it so just happy and special. And even for our family, like, a lot of our family are healthcare workers. They're like, I haven't smiled in so long. Like, it was just such a hard year for people that, like you said, I don't know, maybe our wedding wouldn't have been a special, I don't know, but it was just it felt so much more special and beautiful. And everyone was just so proud to be there because they're, oh my God, we're part of the VIP. Like, they just, it felt that much more special. And to your point about, like, what other brides are feeling, I was in all those bridal groups about, like, the pandemic and postponing brides and keeping the date brides. And I think I so many people posted, like, oh, we had the wedding, it was everything we wanted. And I just didn't believe it. I was like, no, it can't be. You cut your guest list. Like, you had all these restrictions. Like, how could it be? And then we did it. And I was like, oh no, now I see what they mean. Cause it really is about the people who are there. Even if it's 5 people, 10 people, if it's just you and your partner, whatever it is, like, truly, like, the feeling is the same. So I'll never know what the 90-person wedding would have been, but when it comes to what we actually wanted, we didn't really want the 90-person wedding. So it was much closer to, like, what's true to us and what we wanted.
I love that. I'm really happy for you both, and all your guests and everybody that is experiencing things in this way. I do feel things happen for a reason. I'm not trying to discount all the bad things that are happening right now in the world by any means, but if you can have that kind of a weekend right now through all this,
yeah,
amazing.
Seems like you were able to, like, press pause on the world and have that, like, magical time. And there are a few times in all of our lives where we can remember, like, I was on the beach that one time, or we were walking through the park that one time, and it just feels magic. It feels magical. But what I know our listeners are going to be asking is, like, yes, I want that. I want that magic. I want the press pause. I want the I'm happy all day. How do I get it? And I'm asking myself that as you two are, like, still glowing about this and how lovingly you talk about it. And what I keep coming back to is, once you made the decision, those 35 people that were there, it really seems like every decision you made after that, or maybe around that, or from that point on, was only 100% about you two and what you wanted. And that was your baseline. Mm. So it didn't happen just, like, coincidentally. It just happened to be this magical, perfect day. Like, your decisions leading up to it did, you know, plant the seeds for that to happen. I can't think of, like, a better way to say it, but that you, I mean, is it, do you feel like that you just kept coming back to, like, what do we want? Cause you wanted a 25 person dinner party.
Yeah.
And you know, ultimately you got that and more.
It's funny that Michelle said, like, everything happens for a reason. And we definitely weren't thinking about the time, but the dream wedding that we wanted in February would not have happened without COVID, which is crazy. But there, like, there's a lot of people who you're like, oh, well, they invited me to their wedding, and, like, I want them there, but do they, like, have to be there? And, like, it sounds harsh. It's not even supposed to be, but the people who are there had to be there and were, like, will be a part of our lives forever. And I have to be honest, I even changed my vows. I was like, now I can say the vows I really want to say, that I don't feel like X person who's there. Like, we just got to make it fully our own, even down to, like, food choices. We're like, oh, now we can actually have Haitian food and Ugandan food. We don't have to worry about, like, our friends who were, like, terrified of trying new things or whatever. So in a lot of ways, we got down to what we really wanted and what was true to both of us because of not just the smaller guest count, but the the people, like the makeup of the guest count.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll say early in the planning, we had to sit down and think, what are our priorities? Because as you know, when you wedding plan, you have to like choose things, trade-offs, right? Like, do you want how much money, how many people? And one of our two priorities mainly were, correct me if I'm wrong, were we weren't about all of the necessary pomp and circumstance.
Yes, traditions.
Yeah, so we're like, we already know, we had no bridesmaids, no groomsmen, various things were just cut out because either we found out what they were based on, like what—
from watching the show,
patriarchal, whatever it was based on, or it just wasn't us. And the second thing was, we wanted to— one of the reasons we wanted this 25 person wedding, we were like, we're not going to change our budget. We're just going to have a better experience for the few guests. Like, these are people who raised us, who made us who we are. We want to have the best experience possible for them. So once we cut down the list again, we were like, well, one decision we made immediately is like, well, let's just rent out all the hotel rooms.
Yes.
So that they all can be in the same place and not have to think about it, right?
And be safe. We're like, we don't want people like piling up in an Airbnb to save money.
Yeah. It's COVID time. It's also a recession, right? We're like, one less expense for everybody. So we took the money from like feeding and giving drinks to 90 people and decorating for 90 people to helping house the 30 people, right? Mm-hmm. It also kind of made it such that anytime a little mistake happened or a little problem happened, we're like, well, at least we're here, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it kind of brushed over any little things. Like, the experience was the priority, and like people's guest experience was a priority.
Yes.
And our experience was the priority, and every little other thing didn't really matter, you know?
Yeah, that's great. Hey, sorry to interrupt ourselves. But we just had to take a moment and tell you that the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass, it's almost ready, everybody.
Winter is coming.
Oh no, it's almost ready. And we want you to know that if you are super interested in this masterclass or want to find out what the hell we're talking about, go to our website. Christy, what's our website?
TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast.com.
Oh, yeah.
And right at the top, there is a handy dandy bar that says—
is that a bar?
It's like a bar the way. It's not a bar that you go to drink at, although that's an idea.
Or dance on.
There's a link to just enter your email and then we will communicate with you. We're not going to give it to anyone. We're just going to let you know
what's happening.
When this thing is actually available to purchase, which will be very soon.
Super soon.
We're so excited to share it. We can't wait to see what you think. And we're here to help you plan your wedding in a totally different way. So check it out.
Yeah, we want to know if you're interested. So go to our website, click on Masterclass, and put your little email in there. We're not going to share it with anybody. It's just for us. Okay, thanks. And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
When we talked to you, there were some discussions happening like in real time. It seemed like maybe you were about to make some decisions about vendors. That it sounds like you had a great planner. And I know that was a journey in itself to get to her, but there were other vendors that you were in the midst of everything that was going on and continues to go on in our country outside of the pandemic. Thinking about how vendors were representing themselves, like social media accounts, like kind of silence about current events, which at the time was with the Black Lives Matter movement and after George Floyd. Am I remembering all that right? Right. Yeah. When we talked.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote down the question about, like, you know, reflecting about that. Did you end up changing up your vendors at all? This was after they'd already been hired, or did you?
Yeah.
What did you do?
Yeah. So I think for us, after that July 3rd change of like, this is what the wedding's going to be, I think we just were like, it is what it is. Like, we are too far gone to like find new vendors. And what I like really was going hard on is we just have to make them work for us. Like, instead of like, I think at the beginning, I was so timid about like, oh, why aren't they, you know, respecting our wishes, or why aren't they as like culturally aware of XYZ? we were like, no, we are going to just put them to work, like in a respectful way, whatever. But I remember with our caterer, like the first food options he sent us were very much like a standard American white wedding, I could tell. And we were like, so this isn't going to work at all. We mm-hmm. would like all of these things. Rodney is from the Caribbean. I am from Africa. And what I was so pleasantly surprised by is that they were all like, yeah, let's make this work. And so I realized like the more just assertive we were about what we wanted and specific, we realized that sadly, like the template and the standard that people will send us will not be for us ever, but we just had to be more vocal about what we needed and what we expected. And every single vendor stepped up, even with music, with videographer for music for the film. We were like, we want this to feel like a Black love story. So like, do not come with like some techno. I don't know what you usually do. And the video was beautiful and perfect because they had that in mind. So even though that might not be what they typically do, they were all very willing to be like, oh no, this is what you as our client want. We will make that work. We are professionals. And every single vendor like came through with our vision, the more specific we were. So I think it was more work for us, but it worked out in the end. And if we switched, that might've made things harder on us than they had to be, honestly.
Yeah. I will say though, we did still try or still think about trying. Like for instance, a venue opened up or a date opened up, that was, we even considered moving our date because that would automatically give us a way to change our vendors.
That was very early on, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We were like, well, here's our chance. And this happened even post after we invited people. So we were like, at that point, it's always a motivation in your back of your head. Like some of our vendors kind of stepped up and like were more vocal on their media in terms of like addressing the things that we were concerned about. Like I remember one vendor.
The video team, I literally spoke to him for like an hour and a half.
I was like, this is early on in the—
Yes, yeah. And like not about the wedding, about like, what is your stance? Where do you stand? And he was like, please do not get this twisted. We stand with you. And so they almost had to step up what they were doing on their, you know, in their branding and PR to like, you know, reassure us, I guess I would say.
Yeah, it was funny because he was saying, or they were saying, like, they didn't think it was their place to speak. And I hope people who are listening who aren't Black or who aren't directly affected by the way America treats Black people, I hope you understand that it's your place to speak. I think we've spent the whole summer, this year is like one of the first years where, in a long time, where people are saying like, yeah, you can speak, you can do speak. And it's kind of hitting home. But yeah, he was saying that at first. And some vendors never really said anything. And, you know.
By the end, they all did. It just took a while.
Yeah. It's still that momentum of like, let's do the right thing. Like, let's clear out our entire vendor list and find people who are like down for this versus like, yeah, it's a very expensive wedding that's happening right now and during pandemic. There's always those forces, right? Like, there's only so much of a stand you can take during your
wedding. Either way, you had to do a lot of work, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
You either had to take the time to talk to them or in this case, educate this videographer, which you've said before, like, this is not our job to do. Yeah. Or you would have had to start from fresh and go hire somebody new that you could find online that you like, that was good, that represented. Like, either way, you had to work, and it sucks. But I think it's very interesting because the last time we spoke, I remember you saying, like, I don't know, like, we're seeing some of our vendor team gone silent. I'm not okay with that. Like, we're thinking about maybe we have to make some changes. And in the end, you didn't. You spoke to them, or you— I mean, was there anybody else that you talked to, or was it specifically?
I'm very proud that Jazz like sort of talked to everyone, like, right?
Yeah. I think the video team and the band were the most like starkly silent. And to be honest, I wasn't super happy with the band's response. They were like, oh, well, you know, we like play Black music. And I was like, what does that have to do with anything? What are we talking about? Like, Black music is music, so what do you
say? I was gonna say, like, the majority of music is Black music.
Okay. But like, yeah, we definitely had to speak to everyone. But in the end, I think what I was scared of is, if you're silent here when we start saying we want you to play like some Haitian compa, are you gonna like scoff at that? And I was like, that we're paying you. Mm-hmm. You are all professionals. Like, I just didn't want to hear pushback, because at the beginning I kept getting pushback for everything. Like, I told you guys about like, the makeup thing of like, oh, well, I don't know anyone. And I was like, I'm not going to do that this whole time. I'm done with that. So like, if I'm going to get that response, that's when we might have to think about actually dismissing. Right. So
I'm going to continue to pay you
Yes.
You're going to do the work for
you're
me.
You're going to do the work. And nothing we're asking, like, we weren't asking for anything crazy. Like, extra. Nothing we were asking was crazy. So, like, for catering, for instance, he first gave us this, like, mashed potatoes and chicken, you know, menu. And we were like, this is, even outside of us, this is in Palm Springs. Who wants to go to Palm Springs and eat chicken and mashed potatoes? Like, let's do right. something. Like, this actually doesn't make sense. And so part of what we talked about with him is, like, okay, we probably don't want to make a whole Haitian and Ugandan menu, but, like, we're in California. Let's have, like, some, like, South American influence. Let's have some, like, Asian influence. Like, why are we, what are we doing? And I actually, our catering manager, he was so inspired by a menu. He's like, I used to work in Miami. I never get to make stuff like this because everyone just wants the same food all the time. So he said, I'd love to do some experimental plantain dish or, like, something that he doesn't typically do. And so a lot of our vendors after the fact were like, your wedding is the most unique wedding we've done in so long because everyone just keeps doing the same thing. And you guys wanted something that's, we weren't even doing it to be different. Something that's us, but it's so different from their usual clients. So I actually think later on people were like, we'd love to add this to our portfolio because we never have gotten to do things like this. And so I think in the end, it helped everyone to try new things creatively in a year.
Totally.
Where they probably didn't have as many weddings. And now our catering person was saying that, like, he's going to start offering this to other people. Like, oh, even people who may not have plantains as part of their culture, like, it's a delicious food to eat. It's great outside and it lasts in the sun, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think us being more vocal, I think not only did it make our wedding better and we got to have the wedding of our dreams that we were worried about at a certain point. But I also just think, like, all of our vendors came away with, like, even our video, I truly think is, like, no video that vendor has ever made in a good way. I think it's going to, like, elevate their portfolio because it just felt so young and fresh and different. And I think much more focused on love than a lot of their videos that are, like, very detail-y. So yeah.
If nothing else, they'll have an example to show as, like, we can do a video like this, or we can do one more like this. And this is the spectrum. I think everyone walks away a little better after, like you said, like, stretching themselves creatively. Maybe they have a little more time. He can look up some more, you know, dishes, that kind of stuff. But also those conversations you had, you talked to your videographer team for an hour, not about the wedding. Like, that's a big deal. That was an hour of your time, but it was also an hour of their time. And hopefully they were listening and they're going to be better for that. Yep. You didn't have to email us. You listen to the podcast, whatever. There's not a lot of direct back and forth between podcasters and listeners. And we try to foster that, but, like, we all listen to podcasts and it would never occur to us just to email. I'm just going to email the host. I mean, we put it out there. Like, if you have questions or concerns, email us. But the reason that we read your email and we're like, okay, we have to talk to her and find out more from both of them about this experience and why you felt like it was worth your time and energy to actually write the email to be like, you know, basically, I love you guys, but you can do better. And we could, and we, you know, want to, and we will, and we are, and all of that, but you didn't have to write the email when you know, if you speak up, something is going to happen.
Definitely.
Even if the something had been, you never heard back from us, that would have been pretty telling, you know? I mean, if you speak up, something is going to happen. I think that's a really good just point of advice in general for wedding planning.
And especially during the pandemic, there's a lot of, we kind of touched on this last time, but, like, in a lot of the bridal groups, people are being kind of, like, tossed around by vendors who are, like, not getting back to them, or, like, just weird shadiness. And I don't think it's because people are trying to, like, hurt their clients, but just people are in bad spots. And so that's being trickled down to couples. And I think even for the pandemic, you have to speak up. If some vendor's, like, not following restrictions or your guests won't feel safe or comfortable, like, speak up. That's not, like, you're the one who's going to be on the other end of that when your guests are like, I got sick because you didn't take care of me, or whatever it is. I think it's very easy to be like, oh, my planner has everything, but your planner doesn't know what's in your head. And there's a lot of things that are specific to us as a couple that, like, my planner, she doesn't know us. Like, how can she translate it as well as we can? So I'm a huge proponent of speaking up. And I think every element of the wedding got better the more vocal we were.
Communication is something that's so simple and we all have the ability to do. We have a frontal lobe, we have a mouth, we have a voice, we have a language, but so many people don't communicate, you know, like, just talk, you know, it's, and listen, and the world would be such a better place, wouldn't it? Kumbaya, man. Namaste. Okay. So Is there any other kind of thoughts, inspiration, advice, wisdom you want to leave with anybody listening right now?
I think like one of my friends, actually my friend who was the officiant at our wedding, just got engaged.
Yeah.
And he's asking me like, "Will, man, this wedding planning thing, like what's happening?" And just listening to our conversation today even adds to the thought that, and it's not a bad thing, it's just the way it is. The wedding industry is very homogenous, for lack of a better word. It's very white, especially the wedding planning, the professional wedding industry. And that means a lot of the expertise is, you know, built up in one people of the same kind of culture. And like we said, like there's all these things that even our first planner wanted, we're like, this doesn't fit us. And like everybody was doing the same thing. So like, maybe we're wrong.
Yeah. Sometimes I was like, are we the ones who are wrong?
Like maybe we should do that thing. And that's just, you know, whatever for you guys probably know, you know better than me, the forces that cause that, but it's intimidating. And like, there's already a million things that are intimidating, but that part of it was also just intimidating. I think last podcast we said like, we don't know if we would have got our venues if it was us versus like our, you know, blonde wedding planner going in and talking to people. We don't know what kind of we would have had. It was just us discussing these things and it worked out for us, but it's also kind of, why does it have to be that way? And we know why, right? It's that things don't change overnight, period. But I guess I would give advice that if you are people of color like us, Black people, going through this planning process, you know, the advice we've given about speaking up, try it. I'm saying I can't guarantee it will work. And I would say maybe it didn't work every time for everything we wanted. We did get rid of a whole planner because they just wouldn't listen to us.
Yeah.
But if I could give advice to the other side, same things we said here, like look how valuable it is to have some diversity in the way you think about things. This is something maybe the wedding industry could take.
I have a little chills there listening to you, Rodney, you know? Because I know that you're speaking with a lot of intention and from your heart, and even your pauses, I'm like, you know, like, tell me. I we really appreciate it. And I know that everybody so listening thoughtful. Does. Yeah. Like it's from the heart here. And that's just the way people need to communicate. And so thank you.
Definitely. The other lessons outside of what we already said, I think just for the wedding day, people kept saying this to me and I was like, whatever, but really enjoying the wedding day, like every moment. Looking back, I think I might've been super relaxed, or people perceived me that way, because I just, like everything we said before, I was just thinking big picture. I was thinking tomorrow Rodney would be my husband, so my mimosa's taking too long, I'll be okay. Like, oh, the music stopped playing, like whatever. We're behind on time. All of these things I probably won't remember in 5 years. I just will remember like how amazing of a day it was. And yeah, I think if I was stressing out that day, like I would've been like, then why are we even get married? Like, why are we're putting all this time and effort and we have all these people working so hard for us and we're not even enjoying it. That would have just been a complete waste. And so even with all the nerves and the natural feelings, like I'm very, very glad that we had the first look. I'm very glad that we, you know, we did our family portraits before. So we got to just like, oh, we didn't tell you guys. We went to the desert and had a whole photo shoot by ourselves, which was also like more alone time. We just got to have a lot of time alone, and that's what made it just so special. It was just like our day, and that was just so, outside of the planning part, carving out the day that way just made it so much more magical and memorable. Then I would say, we didn't really talk about like the COVID adjustment side, but for us, since this will be the reality probably till, who knows, 2022, 23, who knows, just making sure people feel comfortable makes all the difference. Because one of the things that kept sticking out in my head, one of my friends who postponed was like, the last thing I want is for everyone to be talking about COVID on my wedding day. And I was like, oh my God, is that what's gonna happen? People are gonna be at their tables talking about COVID? Like, I don't want that. And no, I don't think the word COVID ever came up like the entire 2 days. And it's because people felt so comfortable and safe because everything was outdoors. Everything was like professionals serving you food in like a very safe, clean way. And it just, I felt like people were so comfortable, they almost forgot COVID existed, which is it's almost impossible nowadays. Mm. But I think it wouldn't have been the same way if people were like, you know, in this banquet hall acting as if COVID didn't exist, and people were like, I'm way too close to you, ew, why is there a buffet? It's just like, if things were less safe and comfortable, I think people probably would have been obsessing over COVID and like, why didn't they do this or why did they do that? And I feel like if I was a guest at this wedding, it's hard to say, but I think if I was a guest at this wedding, I would have felt very safe and taken care of. And that made all the difference in the mood. Like people were much more willing to dance because last minute Palm Springs said we couldn't have a dance floor. So they didn't want people like packed into like a certain dimension. And so people just spread out and felt much more comfortable dancing. And that seems like a little thing, but I remember the week before I was like, man, we spent all this time thinking of a dance floor. We have to get rid of it now. But I was like, at the end of the day, people are going to dance more without a dance floor because they don't feel like they're shoved together. And so little things like that, well, big things, that just have to do with like guest comfort and making sure everyone feels good, in the end of the day, made us feel good and made the whole wedding better.
Yeah. You can't pretend COVID doesn't exist beforehand, or people will think that you forgot that COVID exists and they won't feel comfortable. But we gave out welcome bags that had like masks and hand sanitizers. Yes. And we had like you asked about the text we sent to people about how to get rid of them. We sent another text to people who were coming. It was like 10 texts long.
Yes.
Like, these are your rules. You will follow them or you will not come.
We were literally like, if you have like even a fever or like anything, like please enjoy your day in the hotel or something. Like you're not, this is it. And yeah, I think it just changed the whole mood, that like this fear I had of like, I'm having a COVID wedding and everyone's just going to be like pitying us and not having a good time. People had the time of their lives, and we got people a lot of alcohol. We had drinks at the before the ceremony. People were like, oh, I've never had champagne before a ceremony. We just like took care of our people.
Yeah. Thank you again.
Yes, thank you.
For following up. Thank you for reaching out in the first place. And I was listening back to that first episode, and I remember you saying in your letter that, you know, you weren't sure if we weren't talking to more Black couples because we weren't searching. No, what was the word?
We weren't hearing from them. You said, is it a pipeline issue?
Yeah.
We
said on that episode, and we're saying it again, like, reach out to us. Like, we are here, and we've since worked hard to do more episodes, but we also want to hear from you, you know? And so thank you for reaching out to us, Jazz, and writing that email. And thank you both for coming on twice, sharing your before and afters and all your wisdom. And please keep in touch. And I want to see that video.
Oh, yeah. Do we?
It's on YouTube.
We'll send you a link.
Okay. Send us a link. Thank you both so much. Stay safe and keep in touch. And yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you guys. We'll send you some memories, some videos and pictures.
Yay.
Thank you.
All right.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast Community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625, and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love your show.
Bye.